There is a darkness that lurks inside all of us. Time to bring it into the light.
Welcome to Sick Minds with Alistair Griggs and Nico Tatarovich.
Welcome again to Sick Minds with me, Nico Tatarovich.
And myself, Alistair Griggs.
And joining us today, we've got a lovely special guest. Who are you, special guest?
I'm giggling because I'm wearing sunglasses. The listeners can't see that. I'm called Katie Wicks.
Yes, we're very honoured to have you, Katie.
Hello.
You all right?
That's what I like to hear at the start.
That's
Sick
exactly
Minds.
The right noise.
You've got the tone right
top of the show.
I think I'm doing pretty well considering, yeah.
Considering.
Yeah. Yes. How difficult it is to be alive, right?
Oh, yes. Right, guys? You know, it's such a relief to meet
kindred spirits.
How tricky it all is.
Oh, it's tricky. It's tricky out there, isn't it?
It is.
Isn't it?
This morning I woke up and it took ages to remember like what I was, who I was. I didn't even feel like a woman. I just, consciousness, bang, oh shit. And then it all began to fill in who I am one at a time, what I've got to do. Happens every
morning. The sweet spot is before you remember, before you know
like
anything.
When you could be like a giraffe, you're just like, oh, I'm conscious.
That's like if you come up from fainting, there's a period of time, there's like a nanosecond when you don't know anything. Mm. You don't know the universe.
I've never fainted.
Oh, incredible.
Oh, it's good.
Can you see my eyes through this, or is it weird?
We should say, by the way, I don't know if we've mentioned it, that Katie's wearing sunglasses.
She's decided to.
She's wearing my sunglasses.
I'm quite...
They're black, what sort of aviators, aren't they, with the gold
rim? I'm really highly sensitive to light. Yeah. Gives me a headache, this kind of artificial light.
We're in artificial light. We're, you know, you're giving away all our secrets here.
Because they imagine we're in a meadow.
Yeah. We thought we were. Yeah.
Like Buxton's podcast.
Is it helping? Do you feel better now?
Actually, it has helped, but I'm worried that there'll be less connection between us all.
Yeah, I feel nothing.
Because the eyes are so key.
To be honest, Griggs struggles to connect with any other human.
You've got to really get over that. It's horrible. Other people, it's horrible talking to other people, but it is worth it once you find the right people.
But
there's not many of them.
Once you get to the other side, though, proper connection, it was definitely worth like all the horrible shame and embarrassment and awkwardness.
That makes me think it's quite a troubling thought that's happened between me and you, Alistair. Seeing as you texted me this morning, you struggled to think of a single nice thought.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I had that. I was thinking that. Than it all ends eventually.
Yeah, all ends. Or the other one I like is, you know, a comfort is that everyone around you in 100 years will be dead.
Yeah.
So don't worry.
Yeah. It all
don't
ends.
Worry. Be happy. Is
Everything you know will be dead.
Also, the happy thought I had this morning was there's always a drug for something. That was my happy thought.
Yeah.
Like, whether it be, you know, medication.
Yeah, Lemsip.
Like
whether it be antidepressants.
Like
an illegal high or a simple paracetamol, you know. Like, there's like something out there for everyone.
Like a piece of cake or something like that. Sugar.
I had this fantasy about 3 years ago. Oh, maybe I'm not alone in this. I was kind of having a thing with this guy, and I was so completely obsessed with him, and he wasn't that bothered, and I kind of couldn't accept that it wasn't like a special connect. I just couldn't accept it. And I'd have this recurring fantasy where I would get cancer, and then and I'd be lying there. There's cancer in my family, so I feel like I'm okay to say, I'm allowed to say that.
Yep.
People have had it, and I'd be there in the hospital and stuff, like a private room, really nice room.
Mm.
It wouldn't be like,
like
a it would be a private room.
Wouldn't be with riffraff.
And he would appear, and then he would be like, oh my god, you know, it's just, I've never met anyone like you. I love you so much because
Don't
I'd go. Be dying. And it would be that would be like the catalyst that would get him to unlock how he really felt. I couldn't accept.
That was really dark.
Was it?
That is so on brand. Love it.
Was it too dark?
No.
That is...
There's no such thing as too dark.
Yeah. I would just keep thinking if I was dying. I mean, when I was about 15, I did say my parents were getting divorced to get attention, and they weren't. So I think that was to get a boy to do something. So it's obviously a theme. Yeah, I just remember really clearly, I think, God, that would be the thing to do, would be on my deathbed. And I would get to, I think it was just the drama. I'd get to say these really dramatic things to all these people.
I love that, though. I love the sort of the drama of sympathy is a beautiful thing, you know. It's we're all vulnerable on some level.
But it's also the inability for me to communicate sensibly or maturely something. It would have to be, I'm about to die. Yeah. This is the most dramatic. This is the only way we can say these things.
Say it with sickness.
But and I would often have this thing of like, if there was a confrontation or I had to have a difficult conversation with someone, I would really hope they'd die on the way. That happens a couple of times. Even with like people I've worked with and stuff, I secretly just like be walking down the street and I'd be thinking, oh my God, if they just like, if a bus knocked them over now,
so much easier.
My life would be so much easier.
I think about like when I'm older and dying that I'll be a coward and that if I'm on my deathbed, that I wouldn't be like, if I'm surrounded by my family, there'll be part of me which wants to sort of turn, I'll be like crying and I wouldn't be facing it bravely. I'll just be crying and angry and pathetic. Yeah. And I thought about like how I'd turn to my grandchildren and say, this should be you here.
Oh, just resentment.
Why would you say this should be? Why?
Well, I don't think that anyone. You know, people say like, he or she, like they died in their sleep or something like that. I think that people don't die in their sleep. They just. It's like my grandpa. He died at 96, and I know at the end, he would have given anything for 10 more minutes. He would have grasped at anything to just hold on.
Oh, don't.
Just to keep flesh. For a bit longer.
Yeah.
That I don't think people kind of go, oh, I'm ready for it now.
Yeah, I don't think it's just terror.
I think it's just terror.
But the scary thing is we probably nearly die all the time and we don't know. That really freaks me out.
Well, I think about it most when I'm like just in a car going along and just think, what am I doing?
Yeah. Mm. What am I doing in this weapon? On a motorway. Yeah.
At like, well, within the speed limit, obviously.
Yeah, of course. Of course you do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't drive.
Hurtling down the motorway. Surrounded by idiots who are also in cars. What's that about?
Oh, planes. There's planes.
Yeah, you have to kind of understand each other that you're like, I'm not going to crash into you. No, me neither. I'm just going to drive this like this. Yeah, me too.
I'm assuming that...
That's what you see written on the side of cars now, exactly. Don't you? Yeah.
And like baby on board. Three lanes or four lanes on a motorway and everyone's driving along past each other and overtaking each other. The thing dividing you from the other cars is some lines painted on a road. And we're like, oh yeah, thank God. We all know where we stand now. Like, fucking hell. It's a bit much, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right.
It's a bit mental.
That's all that...
The only safe mode of transport, really, is one of those... Haven't they started inventing, like, you know, like a tube, but with, like, a vacuum or anti-gravity or whatever, so the speeds that they could fire a train carriage through it are, like, ridiculous.
Yeah, but depressurizes it and then fires it like a bullet from a gun.
Have you seen Graham? The guy that's been designed to withstand any car crash? Do you know what I mean?
Graham.
It's called Graham.
What a man.
So there was an artist and a scientist got together and have made this. When you Google it, it's disgusting looking. They've made... a human designed to withstand any car crash.
When you say so human, what?
It's like a waxwork model.
Right.
It's like a sculpture of a man.
Yes.
How man would have to look, or woman, to survive a car accident.
What is the point in that?
Oh.
It's interesting. Like, he's got his head's this big and thick, he's got no neck. But weirdly, they've given him like eight nipples. His rib cage is tough and up here. But he's got loads of nipples. I don't understand the nipples.
Should
I show you it? It's amazing.
What's you just no reached for your else. Scotch egg then. What is in there?
It's a beetroot Scotch egg. The weird thing is, you can taste a bit, and I tasted it, and then went, "Yeah, I'll have it," and I didn't like it.
Really?
I was just in a panic. I do things like that all the time.
It's all right.
It's panic decisions.
Just you're running away with yourself.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Why has someone created
Graham.
Graham.
What does it, was it like a big sort of fat thing which absorbs the kind of energy?
What do you learn from
it? It was
that?
In the design museum.
All right, so don't we all need to look like this, guys.
I think it was a statement about evolution and about whether or not, I think that's what it was saying.
Like, if, he's amazing. Got, if you know what's good for you, evolve in that direction.
Everything's thicker. Yeah. His head is like a dome. No neck. And this huge built-up rib cage. He's just horrible to look at.
Oh, I prefer not knowing what he looks like. I don't want to see him.
Blows my mind.
I'll look for him later, but if we looked at it now...
Please look.
I think we'd puncture the mystery, because we'd all just go, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You've got to please remember to look up Graham.
That's how disappointing life is. Yeah. That Graham sounds amazing, but if you show me him, he'll just be real.
It's he's incredible to look at.
Everything's
it's not disappointing.
Deep down.
What do you think?
It's the journey, isn't it?
We get bored of things. That's why.
Oh, like that.
They call it hedonic adaptation, don't they? Hedonic adaptation. That you win the lottery, you go back to the same level of happiness. Hedonic adaptation.
Well, that's good to know, because that just means don't try. Doesn't it?
Don't try.
Just don't do anything. Don't do anything or worry too much about how different everything needs to be, because...
My life's pretty aimless, I'll be honest. I don't set many goals, and I really need to, I think. I'm too scared to, I think.
Yeah, but you're creative. And you do stuff that's...
Yeah.
Comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, we worked together a few weeks ago, and at lunchtime you stood in a giant shoe. Where did that come from?
Didn't I? Graham's shoe.
You stood in a giant shoe. We took a picture of you, and I looked at it later, and I was like, "That absolutely it suited you." Like, you know, just on a person and shoe level, it was like, "Yeah."
Yeah, I know what you mean.
If I went in a shoe shop with you, I wouldn't know where to start. But in Golden Square, you stood in a giant shoe.
Framed me, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah.
You looked.
I agree. That was good.
But I know what you mean about it. You know, waking up every day and thinking, oh, God, I've got to be a person again.
It's crazy,
it's
isn't it?
It's just... Like, I had this moment the other week. I said, oh, God, it's this again.
Mm.
Again.
Do you check your phone with
it? I'll tell you exactly what I do.
Mm. Right. Yeah, okay. Right. This is good. Routine.
I wake up.
Morning routine.
I wake up. That takes about 15 to 20 minutes just denying that I've woken up.
Yeah.
Right, first, just no. No, this hasn't happened. I wake up. I sort of sit up. I look at my phone, I sit on the edge of the bed, I stand up, I go out of the room, I put a doorstop next to the door so that when I come back in, the door won't be closed. I trudge down the hall, I put the bathroom light on and walk past the bathroom, I put a little lamp on in my hall, I open the kitchen door, I go into the kitchen, I get the kettle, I put water in the kettle, I half open the curtains, I start the kettle, I go back into the bathroom. I sit down, I do a wee or a poo or both.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wash my hands and then I go and make that cup of tea, and it's the same every day.
I saw a performance art piece once. It was like that. Someone describing their routine over and over again.
Like a whole day sort of thing.
Yeah.
I would do that now. But
I used to go to things like that. I wouldn't now. It feels embarrassing now.
You used to go to things like that. Where,
yeah, I used to be really into things like that.
You know, an installation at the Tate Modern?
Yeah, when I was about... I used to be in the Performance Art Collective.
Wow.
We were really... Yeah, we took it really seriously.
Was that like... Someone's got what's a stupid idea? And then, however many of you would have to go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you've sort of committed to it, and now you have to do it, however stupid it is.
No, I think we were all into it.
Was there ever a moment when you were mid-conceptual performance when you think to yourself, what am I doing?
A little bit. I think we took a piece up to Edinburgh one year, and it involved us, spitting body paint at each other. And there was, I think it was some nudity. It was quite controversial. It was about 20.
Oh.
But if someone had said to me, I was really into it, if someone had said to me, you'll be back in about 10 years doing sketch comedy, I wouldn't believe them. I was like, no, this is my life now.
A similar state, though, doing...
It's all sort of expressing,
in a good way. I'm not anti-art at all.
I just remembered something.
Go on.
When I got a bit too involved in a performance piece, I did drama at university.
Where did you go?
Manchester.
Uh-huh.
And I took a thing a bit too far... Where I, this has just popped into my head. I took photographs of my friends holding up a coffin. But I wanted it to be... I wanted like, it
above the head. I can't.
Yeah, it was like a funeral thing, but I wanted it to be not just a sort of a sad image. I wanted it to be that people who society view as villains can have emotions too. So I convinced them to shave their head and draw swastikas on their hands. So they appeared as like racists.
Skinheads.
And, yeah, skinheads. And I took that and I took the photographs and then I took the photos to Snappy Snaps and then and then was an hour later questioned by the police on suspicion of creating racist material.
Kidding. Oh my god, that's so complex.
Snappy Snaps.
Yeah. I went back.
So
there.
Snappy Snaps had got like, you know, there's a grass in there, wasn't there?
Well, when I did it, I didn't realise what I did was wrong, and I gave it to her, and I came back an hour later, and I noticed her face was a bit... She said, I've just got to go round the back. And then from the back emerged two police officers.
They said,
all right, make a little word. And I went... Instantly, I knew what I'd done, and I went, oh, and I instantly was going, it's a drama project.
I'm a middle class child.
Yeah. And then very quickly, they realised.
Did they almost find it funny?
Yeah, they were like going, all right, so you're not really involved in this, really? I was like, no, absolutely not. I condemn this.
So hang on.
Outright.
There's people holding like pawn bearers.
Yeah. It was an impulse
again. And then the swastikas are on the hand.
They were on the hand. That was probably the one which was a bit too ill-advised, that bit. That was a bit too far. But I wanted to kind of show that, yeah, like even like racists have emotions. I'm 18.
It used to mean something. You were 18. Yeah. Before the Nazis adopted it, it meant something else, that symbol. It's a Hindu.
Like peace and love.
Yeah, so couldn't you have just cited that as...
I wasn't going to lie to the police in that situation.
It means peace and love.
Got me banged to rights.
Cropped hair and a bomber jacket slows that argument down a bit.
Forgot about that element.
See, that's gold, that, Griggs.
That's
what I love about you. Is you?
And you've never heard that
story. Done a bit of everything. I've not heard that one before, and I liked it.
I did drama at Warwick. We did very similar types of things. I remember there was... At one point, I remember there was a... We did a piece, and all it was me kissing this boy and then pulling a watch out of his mouth as I put my head back.
Oh, God.
What did it mean? He was on a slab at the time, like in a morgue. That's where we filmed it.
You were like sucking time out of
the dead.
You honestly, you two.
Did I not say that?
Really
I was sucking
on.
Time out of the dead.
sucking time out of the mouth of the dead.
Yeah.
Love to was find it, that footage of me sucking time.
Father time.
It will come up. Oh, father
oh,
time.
Dear.
Father. It will emerge
degenerated
that piece
quickly.
Of footage. Won't it? I mean, be like on the Daily Mail website. Me sucking time.
But again, that's like, it's quite a horrible image.
Is it?
And it's a dark image. Let's not pretend that it
was... He was called Andrew.
Sort of, it wasn't whimsical, was it?
It's called Andrew.
You don't suck a watch out of a man's mouth on a mortuary slab and go.
I've never thought of it as dark.
I guess we were just mucking about.
I was so
you were trying to invoke something quite dark.
I was so removed. I was so into the concept. I never thought about that. It is quite dark.
That is something I like about you, and I've had conversations about you before. Is that you will take a thought. I'd say this is just a leap. Really, but I think you take a thought that enters your head. You take it at face value and like explore it in quite a fun way.
Do I?
Which I think makes you very imaginative.
Mm.
Whereas,
well, it keeps me going anyway.
Sick minds.
Nico, proud of you. Maybe we should now play our little item with Katie that we call. It's a funny little item that we call.
You shouldn't laugh.
Okay.
So it's a lot of fun. Does it work? We're not sure
remind
yet.
Remind me.
We need to remind ourselves.
Well, yeah, we'll remind everyone. Let's remind the viewers. Viewers?
Yeah.
We'll remind everyone. Let's remind our listeners. Right, so.
Do you want to
play? Katie, we're going to play You Shouldn't Laugh.
Okay.
Which is a game in which we read out some stuff to you, some little... Knickknacks. What's the word?
or little like morsels.
Morsels, headlines.
Yeah. Hors d'oeuvres. Comedy hors d'oeuvres.
Hors d'oeuvres. Mm. And to see if they make you laugh or not. And you shouldn't laugh.
Okay.
That's why it's called that.
What if I don't laugh at any of them?
Well,
then we drop the ice. What if I laugh at all of them?
There are many flaws in this.
Well, the thing is, we're competing. Quite stoic. We're competing. Alistair and I are competing. At the moment, the score in the series is 1-1.
Okay.
Right? Okay.
Right.
Okay. So, it's sort of a competition between me and Alistair, okay?
Okay.
Alistair, who would you like to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay. Okay. Right now, Katie, okay. Prepare to try not to laugh.
Okay.
As we play, You Shouldn't Laugh.
Best man left bleeding after being hit in head by flying dildo. Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Actually, quite contempt, if anything.
Yeah.
I just think it's a cliche. Okay. Dildo.
Man threw snail at car in street row.
Yeah, that's funny.
I knew she'd like that.
It was just throwing a snail's funny.
That was a good goal.
So I won that one.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Now the scores are 2-1.
Well, that...
2-1 to Nico.
I think we can all agree that item is going to be taking the world by storm. In some ways, it's the new Carpool Karaoke.
It? Yeah, it is.
It is.
Great, it's, would be great
it's,
in Carpool Karaoke.
It's Gotcha, it's Carpool Karaoke, it's all the greats rolled into one.
Sick Minds.
Have you got any specific stuff, Griggs?
To say.
Mm-hmm.
Could tell a story from my childhood, if you want.
Oh, I'd love
to hear that.
Quite a...
What's the theme of it?
It's humiliation.
Okay. I've got tons of them.
I already like it.
Okay, so...
little Griggs.
When I was 12, I had an operation done on my private parts.
Oh, okay. God.
No, stick with it. All right. And an operation. And
was
they're
it
fine
removed?
Now.
Taken off?
No, it was just... They had to do something... I mean, I could say the name of it, but medical people would understand what it is.
How many doctors do you have
listening?
Did
it make a vast deference, I think?
That is a zinger.
Was something removed or something put on?
No, it was like merely just adjusted the shape.
The shape? Something. Was it bending?
It was called a preputioplasty, and you can Google that now you can see what it was.
And Google Graham as well, don't forget.
But it was successful, and then about a week later, myself and my dad...
yeah.
Went to see the surgeon for a kind of post-consultation about what happened and stuff. And so it's myself and my dad, and across from us is the surgeon. And my dad just said to the surgeon, he gestured towards my crotch and said, just want to say that's a remarkable piece of work you've done.
Oh, poor thing.
Yes, he did.
How old were you? 12?
I was 12, and I couldn't believe he did it. But he just went, just want to say that's a remarkable piece of work.
Oh,
and the surgeon just nodded and said, thank you. And I was quietly sitting there.
What did you feel like?
That's horrible.
Did you feel like...
Oh, that's a bad one,
Have you ever had any therapy? Seriously?
Nothing wrong with it, by the way.
A little bout of it. Do you reckon I should get back on it?
I mean, I've been doing it for 8 years. I'm addicted to it now.
I love it.
I can't... I'm about to leave mine after 8 years, and I feel really like, oh, that's it now. I'm just going to have... I'm expected to just go alone then.
Mm.
And I'm really...
The thing is, you can always go back.
Yeah. I mean, now I'm repeating myself. They're repeating themselves. We're just going around in circles. There's no point in being there now. It's just the same old shit.
Mm. It's not to be sniffed at, Griggs, and... I would pretty much start with that story.
Okay.
Just go from there.
And then see where I get to.
Just go from there. I'm pretty sure it's going to make sense of a few things.
I think you'll get a lot of answers very quickly.
Your reaction to that story wasn't what I thought. You seemed much more sort of concerned and sympathetic than I thought. It was actually more like, that's genuinely horrible.
Well, I remember when I was about 7 going to a birthday party and my mum came to pick me up. Actually, it was my aunt. And I realised suddenly I'd forgotten to put any pants on. And I suddenly felt really shy and embarrassed. And she thought it would be funny to lift up my dress and, make a joke of it to all the other children.
Jesus.
I know. It made me think about that. It's horrible, isn't it?
I'm not going to tell a penal.
Have you got a story about children's genitalia?
Have I?
As in your own, not
well,
children.
All right. When I was little, the tax man came round to investigate my mum's financial affairs. And she was a bit nervous about it. She ran her own business and she was just, like, worried that it wouldn't be in order and that she's getting in some sort of trouble. But I was about 3 or 4 years old and just was walking around naked with a hard on, saying to the taxman, seen that, have you? And he felt so uncomfortable he left, and she still thanks me for it.
I've seen
to
that,
this day.
So great. The audit that, you.
I've loved this, but it's not up to us, Katie Wicks, to decide ultimately whether you are worthy of the sort of sick minds. You call it a brotherhood. That sounds sexist, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What is it?
Collective.
What is this?
Sick sisterhood.
Brethren. That's not.
Is there a unisex version of a brethren?
Community.
Community, that's lovely.
Group.
Lovely.
It's worse.
It's not up to us, Katie. It's up to the imp. The imp of the mind. Mm. And the imp of the mind is basically a part of all of us, really, that is the sort of conduit for all the kind of thoughts that we've been talking about. Mm. And he lives under the studio in a sort of hell cave. Would you like to meet him?
Yes, please.
So we're just going to hang on. Throw me down these steps. Just, yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is the imp of the mind. I bring Katie Wicks before you, your grace.
Katie Wicks.
You don't have to say my full name every time.
Sorry, I'm the one who gives the orders here. I am judging you. I have listened to your words.
A sore throat.
It's slight infection, but I'm dealing with it.
Just be careful.
Sorry, I should show more respect.
Silence! Katie.
Yeah.
I'm afraid you do not have a sick mind. You have a good person. Now you leave here and never return. Nico,
yeah?
Take her away.
Right, okay. Thank you, imp. Well, we'll see you again. Just this one.
That was so intense. I feel
as if he meant that as a compliment.
It was like meeting God. It was really intense.
It felt like
I'm
a compliment.
I'm disappointed.
It is.
What, you want to have a sick mind?
Yeah.
Well,
I was disappointed.
Well,
is that done?
Sick minds.
We're not monsters. We want to make that clear. And in that spirit, we like to end the show on a happy thought. Have you got one of them, Katie?
Yeah. I don't know if it's happy enough. It was just a thought I had this morning on the way in. I find it really comforting. I find people being predictable really comforting. Like how predictable people are.
Mm-hmm.
And what I quite enjoy about winter is I love the fact that in Britain everyone wears like black, brown, dark blue and grey and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
I just really like that about Britain. Mm. That's like the majority of colours people wear.
The
like,
unity.
Really, really boring. Really, really, like myself included. Like I just think when I go to like European countries, people tend to wear brighter colours.
Yeah, you know where you are.
I find it really comforting.
You just see a sea of like black coats on the tube.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's
it
so
binds
sort of
us.
And also it reminds me of like comprehensive school when it was like to be flashy, like it was really, if you drew attention to yourself, it was a really bad thing. Just like keep it unpretentious.
Stop showing off.
Just like don't try and be different.
Mm.
Just wear a black coat.
Done.
I like
lovely.
I like it.
Lovely.
I think comforting.
Alistair?
Well, I really struggled this week to think of a nice thought.
You did,
at
didn't
all.
You?
But the one thing which popped into my mind, which I quite liked recently, was I watched a video of a robot doing a backflip. And I thought,
oh, I think I saw that.
I thought, good, finally, that's a step in the right direction.
Was it onto a little block?
Yeah. It was amazing.
Mm.
And to be fair, little robot puppies have been able to do that since
this was a full-grown man robot. Did the whole thing.
The way it landed was good.
And I just thought, well, at least there's that. At least there's that. Yeah.
Well, I saw I'm going to use the word tramp.
I don't think you can.
I know, but there's an old-fashioned type of homeless person.
Yeah.
Like the ones you used to get in colouring books.
Yeah.
And there was a homeless man that looked like that with a big old beard and patches on his coat and all that playing the piano at St Pancras Tube yesterday, and he was quite good.
That's nice.
Oh wow.
And I just thought, look at that.
Mm.
Cheered me up. Now, what a wonderful time we've had.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of the show, and you're wondering where to find it. I don't know how you're listening to it now if you haven't found it.
Nico's groping. I don't understand that. He's really groping around this bit at the end.
They've got to an Uber and it's just playing. And look, they've gone, what's
we're
this?
We're on iTunes.
Yeah.
We're on Audio Boom.
Yeah.
We're on all your favourite podcast players.
Yeah.
And we can also be found on various social media places like Twitter. Griggs, are you on Twitter?
I think, at Alistair Griggs.
Right.
Because I might have changed it.
GRIGGS.
Can I say something really important quickly?
Of course you can.
I've got my Twitter account suspended.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, I did do. Yeah. I broke a copyright law.
Oh,
but now I'm back on.
Right.
They've let me back on, but people think it isn't me, and it's really confusing, and the people won't follow me because they think I'm fake.
I will.
So the thief, Katie.
Well, tell us the address. The act, what's it?
It used to be my name, actually. Now, I think it's my name, but backwards. It's like at Wix Katie.
Work that out. And I am at Nico Tatz, NICOTATZ.
But they won't verify me either. So people, it's really weird. And the other accounts that exist suspended. Oh, it's a nightmare. If anyone's listening that could help me, please help me.
Yeah, this
please
is a call out.
Yeah. Please help.
Bloody social media.
Well, I've had a wonderful time. And we will see you again when we once again open up the catacombs of our souls for sick minds.